Our subject for today is the world-walloping wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God that defeats the world. And I put walloping because it begins with a W. The world-walloping wisdom of God. And you can take that away with you and carry it around. There is a story about a blonde lady. I was not talking about a hair colour, I'm talking about a character. Yeah. She went on an aeroplane. She bought an economy class ticket. And when she got on the aeroplane, she turned left and went and sat herself in first class. The stewardess came up and said to her, "I'm sorry, madam, you'll have to move back to economy class. That's where your ticket is." And the lady was determined. She was adamant. "No, I'm sitting here. This is my seat. I've chosen this seat. I'm sitting here." And so they brought the co-pilot along, and the co-pilot came to talk to the lady. He said, "I'm sorry, you've only got an economy class ticket. You can't be sitting in first class." And she said, "No, I'm determined. I'm staying here." And so they finally brought the captain out, and the captain came up and he whispered something in her ear. And she said, she nodded and she stood up and went back to economy class. And the co-pilot and the stewardess were amazed. "Captain, how did you manage to do that?" And he said, "I'm married to a blonde. I told her that first class is not going to New York." You see, you got it. That joke is just an example of a whole group of jokes that are based on misunderstandings and the inability to comprehend the way the world works. And in that case, of course, it's ascribed to blonde women. I know some blonde men too, let me tell you that. Next one, Tom. But the passage that we're looking at today is all about wisdom and how the world functions and how the world works. And it's not based on whether you're blonde or brunette. It's not based on whether you're a man or a woman. It's not based on any of those physical factors that we might consider to be important in our world. Wisdom in the Bible is founded very much on something quite different than what human beings think it might be founded on. So let's read. We're reading James chapter 3, and I'm reading from verses 13 to 18. However, I'm reading in the Message, because I find that with this kind of passage that's very, very practical, the Message has done some of the work of applying it and untangling it. So if you have the King James or the New King James or the New International or the English Standard Version or any of the other versions, what I'm going to read may look a little bit different in the first instance. But when you come back and you compare the two quite carefully, you can see exactly where the Message has got its words from. So I'm reading it from the Message. Trust me, it's okay. It says, "Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom?" And everybody says, yes. "Well, here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly." That's how you build a reputation for wisdom. It's not the way it's the way you live and not the way you talk that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving, being sneaky with the wiles of the devil that it talks about, doesn't it? Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. Wow, you never put those two together before, did you? Wisdom and getting along with people. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. Interesting. Interesting, eh? Very interesting. So what it is describing, Tom, is using wisdom to create a robust, healthy community. Now, the kind of wisdom that creates a robust, healthy community is the kind of wisdom that James talks about in this second half of chapter 3. Can you remember what he talked about in the first half of chapter 3? The tongue, yeah. Can any man tame the tongue? It's a fire, it's an animal, it's a rudder on a ship, it's all sorts of things. But now he goes on and he says, actually, all that talking is one thing, but now here's the thing, here's the real nitty-gritty of the thing. What you really need is wisdom. Because wisdom, knowledge might tell you information, but wisdom tells you how to use the information. You might talk about certain things, but until you can apply them, you're going nowhere. If knowledge is the rudder on the ship, wisdom is the engine that makes it move. Yeah? And when James starts talking about wisdom, he does three contrasts. He contrasts three things. He says, firstly, the origin of the different types of wisdom is different. There is a kind of wisdom that comes from God, that comes from above. But there's also a kind of wisdom that is, that in the message, devilish cunning. Does not come from God, it comes from somewhere else. Well, the origins of true wisdom are obviously from God, comes from above. False wisdom comes from below. There are lots of examples of man's wisdom leading to bad results. The Tower of Babel, does anyone remember that? They built that tower to get up to God and it all ended in failure and confusion. In fact, the word Babel in English now means confusion. Means confusion, it's a synonym. It seemed like a really good idea for Abraham to go down to Egypt when there was a famine. But God didn't tell him to do it, and he did it, and it ended up in chaos. King Saul thought, when David came to fight Goliath, King Saul thought it would be a really, really good idea to put armor on him. Saul's great, big, huge armor on a little 15-year-old boy. Not a smart idea. And it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. It doesn't succeed. The origins of man's wisdom are earthly, sensual, devilish. Those three words, very interestingly, I don't know if you ever made this parallel. They are earthly, they are sensual, and they are devilish. There's another place in the Bible, in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3, where it talks about the things that we fight against. Earthly, the world, sensual, the flesh, and devilish, the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. These are our enemies as Christians, as believers. Because there is, of course, a wisdom of the world. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 21 talks about the world's wisdom. And it says God's wisdom is above the world's wisdom. Yeah, there was once a man who was in Boston, and he had he was an academic, and he had a Chinese academic staying with him, and they were traveling from one place to another in Boston. And he said to this Chinese academic, if we run, we can get that train in the train station, and we'll save 3 minutes. And the Chinese academic looked at him, and he said, and what precisely do you plan to do with those extra 3 minutes? There is an assumption in some places, isn't there, that saving 3 minutes is really, really important. But the Chinese man, he had a very different perspective on it. And we need to compare our wisdom with God's wisdom sometimes. Where does our wisdom, where do our assumptions come from? Where does our understanding of things come from? Are we working to the world's wisdom or to earthly wisdom, or are we working to God's wisdom? There's a challenge for you. How do you know the difference? Well, man's wisdom is foolishness to God. God's wisdom is foolishness to man. So if God tells you something and you think, no, that's dumb, then you know it's probably God's wisdom, because God does things in a way that we can't comprehend. Man's wisdom comes very often from reason, but God's wisdom comes from revelation, which is an understanding of things beyond our reason. Man's worldly wisdom comes ultimately to nothing, but God's wisdom endures forever. In contrast to that kind of earthly wisdom, the sensual, devilish wisdom, James then says, but there is another kind of wisdom, and that's the wisdom from above. Every good and perfect gift, James tells us in chapter 1, verse 17, we looked at this, comes from above. The Christian, you see, looks up to heaven, looks upwards for everything. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are not citizens of the world. We are not citizens of England or of the European Union or of Romania or of Germany or of anywhere else in the world. We are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20, we look up. Our citizenship is there because our Father is there. Matthew 6, verse 9. Our treasures are in heaven. Where your treasures are, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6. We were born from above when we became Christians, when we trusted Christ, John 3, 1 to 7. So our focus as Christians is above, it's the heavenly things. What is the Christian's wisdom, though? Our focus generally is upwards, but what is our wisdom? 1 Corinthians 1, 24 and 30. It actually says Jesus is our wisdom, because in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You ever lacked knowledge? You ever lacked wisdom? In him